Good morning. This morning, I want to tell a little story. Sometimes I've done that from time to time, make up little stories that kind of, with a spiritual message. And, well, the scriptural verse that I'm using is John 3:16. And I know that we all know this one by heart. I mean, you even see it on the baseball games, football games, everywhere. And it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." I want to talk to you about this place today that a lot of us have been to. There's this place where everything, anything and everything can happen. You can do what you want when you want. And you know, just before I go any further, Proverbs, keep this in mind, Proverbs 14 and 12 says, "There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death." So, to go on, there were two brothers. When they were little kids, they would hear little bits about this place, listening to the older people talk. The older they got, the more they seen and heard about this place, and the more they wanted to go there. And when they reached a certain age, they decided to go. When they got to this place, there was this drop-off, this ledge, and they looked down and couldn't see the bottom. But there were these roads and bridges everywhere going over to the other side. And there were people, too many to count, going across with smiles on their faces, walking, running, skipping across. So they too went. You know, Jesus once said in Matthew 7 and 14, "For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it." Now, when they got there, it was everything they had heard about, and then some. But as time went on, they began to realize that there was no love there, and that doing anything meant anything. There were liars, thieves, adulterers, murderers, every kind of evil. So they tried to find a way back. But everywhere they went, they came to a cliff. Even the bridge they came over on, they couldn't find it. I got a question for you. How many times have you done something wrong and wish you can go back in time and redo it? Can't be done. Can't be done. They would ask people that they met along the way, and all would say, "There's no way back. So you might as well make the best of it." But they kept searching and asking. One day they came across this man. This man didn't look special in any way. Some say he was a foolish man because he said he could guide anyone out of this place if they followed him, and that he was the only one who knew the way. At this point, I would like to ask you if we would turn to Matthew's chapter 7. And we will quickly look at verses 7 and verse 8. And then that Jesus says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you, to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened." And see, they sought the way. And they asked what they had to do. The man said, I have gone out and pleaded with people, telling them that I knew the way. Some would listen and laugh. Others would start the journey, but find what I wanted them to do was strange and senseless. But it was the only way, he would tell them. And he went on to show these two men things that they had never seen anyone else do. And even told them things about themselves that no one else could have known. After seeing the wonders and hearing him out, he asked them, do you believe me? They said yes. And became convinced that he could lead them out. So they started out and they went a ways and come to this stream. Now this stream was only a few feet deep, only a few feet wide. You can hop across it, jump across it. And there was bridges everywhere. But the man said to them, do as I do. So he walked to the edge of the stream and went in under the water to the other side. They found this to be a strange thing to do. But when the man came up on the other side, he said, you must do this to go on, because you must be willing to leave even the dust of this place behind. And you know, Jesus said in Mark 16 and 16, those who believe and are baptized shall be saved. And if we could turn to 2 Corinthians, actually, chapter 5. Right around verse 16. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way. We do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old is gone. The new has come. All this is from God. And that's what we're talking about the water, we're talking about baptism. I know you're probably following along and already got the story, but some people, if you're not looking at this if you're not looking at things in a spiritual way, you'll miss it every time. And as we go on, so they did the same on the other side of the water. And they saw things more clearly and saw this lighted path that they couldn't see on the other side before, because they hadn't been looking at things in a spiritual way. They also saw some things strange. People wandering around as though they were blind, being led by ones who were also blind. And the two asked the man, why was this? And he said, they thought it foolish to go through the water and jumped over or walked over one of the many bridges. So the two guys, when they went to tell them, go through the water. But they wouldn't listen. In 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verse 14. Paul says, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. if you are seeing things and spiritually, you'll understand it. If you saw, was looking at things spiritually, you would understand why Christ would want you to go into that watery grave of baptism. Some people find it foolish. There are some people who don't even, who preach, almost preach against baptism. They'll say that it's an outward showing of an inward grace, and that it is. But it's much more than that. But they couldn't see that. So they didn't do the right thing. So they couldn't see this lit path. It says, so the man took the two down the lit path until they reached the edge. This place was different because there was a tightrope that reached out into a mist so that you couldn't see what was on the other side. The man told him, you have to walk this line to get across. You can't scoot across. You can't go hand over hand. You must walk across. And the two men thought this to be impossible. But the man said, I'll show you. So he walked across and came back. And then he walked across and he came back again. And not once did he shake. Not once did he stumble or need anything to help him. Brings me to Matthew's chapter 7. Verse 14. And in that verse it says, but small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. Now, we know we have all these people that had been out there and they're wandering about this island of no return. It's because they're looking for something different. They're not looking at it in a spiritual way. So few will find it. These two men, they found it. And as they watched him do this, they looked at one another and their hearts sank because they knew they could never walk the line like him. But he said to them, I'll give you each a rod to balance yourselves and to give you even more help. I have put this net below the rope and a ladder to climb back up when you fall. But as he walked the line one more time, and as he went into the mist, he warned them that the net and the ladder would only be there for a short time. So don't waste any time. And the man was gone. So the two started trying to walk the line, falling and getting back up again, climbing that ladder, trying again, falling and getting back up again. And after a short time, one of them decided to lay there in the net. And the other kept trying until one day he walked into the mist, never to be seen again. And at that point, the other one looked up and said, well, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get up now. I'm going to try. I'm going to climb that ladder. I'm going to get back on that line, and I'm going to walk that line. And when he went to get the ladder, the ladder was gone. He forgot what the man had told him. You only have a short time. And when he noticed the ladder was gone, just then the net started shaking a little bit. And the net disappeared too. And he was lost. Now, just to help you out a little bit, when we're talking about that staff, we're talking about Christ. Christ walked that line. Christ never had any sin. He walked that line perfectly, back and forth, never stumbled, never shook. But he knew we couldn't do that. So he gave us this staff right here. This staff balances us. If we read it, if we do what it says, it balances our life. It allows us to walk that line the way that we're supposed to. And he gave us this net, grace, that he gives to all. If you fall off that line, if you fall down, that net will catch you. And then he gives us that ladder, that love that he gives us. He came down and died. He came down and died to give us a way to be with him one day. He gives us that ladder. Ladder of love, so that we can climb back up that ladder. We can start all over again. We can walk that line, because we might fall again. And certainly I know I have many times fallen into that net. But we got to get back up. And that rope, it's the only way. Some people say it's too hard. I remember when I was growing up, before I became a Christian, I used to think, man, reading this book is just too hard. It's just too much stuff to be done. I can't do that. I can't live that life even if I tried. That was before I read the book. That's before I studied the book. That's before I picked up this staff and started trying. God loves us so much that he's done all this stuff for us. He did everything. He did. I mean, there's, how much more could we ask for? How much more can we ask for? He just wants us to voluntarily take that journey. He wants us to voluntarily believe what he says. He wants us to voluntarily do what he says to do, even though you might find it foolish. God doesn't find it foolish. Some men might find it foolish, but God doesn't find it foolish. He just says, do it. You know, sometimes we think, "What? Why does he want me to do this?" It's not always for us to ask why. If God says do it, we should just do it. And if we do it, we're walking that line. You know, and I know that most of us are probably baptized Christians here, but if you're sitting here and haven't put on the Lord through baptism, I would want you to know. It's no accident that you came here today. When God woke you up this morning, he was giving you another chance to come to him. You know, my daughter, she lost one of her favorite uncles, great uncles, recently, and she wrote on Facebook, I don't understand why God took a great man like him away so early. And it's hard to respond to something like that. But the only thing I could tell her was, God wakes us up every day because he loves us. And every day that God wakes us up, he gives us another chance to do right, another chance to come to him. You know, as I said before, there's no accident. You didn't wake up by accident. You didn't even wake up because of anything you did yesterday. You only woke up because of God allowed it to happen. And God allowed it to happen out of his love. And we should take those opportunities as he gives them to us to change our lives, to do better, to walk that line, to be like him, or to be with, so that we can be with him one day. Well, one of the main messages I wanted to get across as well to us Christians, when you see that net of grace, to you, is it a safety net or is it a hammock? You know, becoming a Christian is just the first step. Finding that path is just the first step, but walking that line is a lifelong deal that we have to do. Now, that one guy, one of the brothers, realized that. He walked across. He kept on trying and trying and trying. That's what Christians are supposed to do. If we diligently seek going to heaven, if we diligently seek being with God. But, you know, some people, some Christians, sometimes they kind of give up. What more can I do? I might as well just lay in this hammock, lay in this net, and just wait for the Lord to come. But that's not what the Lord said. We're supposed to keep trying. So my question to you, Christians, is this. Are you just laying in the net? Are you taking that ladder of love, climbing back up, getting on that line, and walking it the way Christ showed us? You know, it's a funny thing. He didn't just tell people what to do. When Christ came here in the flesh, he showed us what to do. He lived the life that God would have us live. And even knowing that he knew that we were being human and being the way we are, that we were going to have a tough time with it. You know, before they crossed over into sin, because that's what that island is, just an island of sin. That's what separates us from God, if you didn't know. Sin. When we're on this side, we're babies, we're all right. God don't make no junk. But as we grow up, and sin's all about us, and you know, we become curious and want to know what that's all about. We cross over that bridge into sin, separated from God. We need to find a way back. Can't get back on our own. Can't get back according to our own thoughts, according to our own ways. There's only one way. That's Christ's way. Like Christ said in the beginning, John, like going back to John 3:16. He said that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God gives us an opportunity to hear his word. And he asks, do we believe? And if we do, there's something that we have to do. We have to be willing to give up the worldly things. We have to be able to come to him. We have to. And a wholehearted effort to do so. And confess him as being the only one that can lead us out of sin. The only one that can lead us to that paradise. And then we got to follow him down to that watery grave of baptism. And when we come back up, we'll be a new creature. Conscience is clear, ready to go about doing God's work. So if this is you, in any way or shape, form, or fashion, please come as we sing the song that was selected for our Savior's invitation.